Okay. So it is Diane, and it is noon on Tuesday, January 10th. I've got Michelle and Jennifer so far, and we're just doing check-ins. So Jennifer was just checking in on some stuff that was going on with communication with school and break. Anything else you want to kind of say and wrap up? It sounds like things are going well, and you're stepping up, and he's stepping up, and things are smoothing out a little bit for you guys. Is that fair?
Well, until he wrote this awesome essay that now they don't believe he wrote.
Oh, that's a drag.
So now it's like he didn't want to go to school, hated going to school. They told him, oh, he has to talk to the assistant principal today, and that was yesterday. Well, she was out of school yesterday until the end of the day, and she was supposed to call me when she talked to him this morning at lunch. Their lunchtime's almost over, and I have yet to hear from them.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
they're
So
just
you're kind of
sitting
on
this
pins and
dangle.
needles right now.
Yeah. And it's
Yeah, that makes sense.
ridiculous because he was so excited about this essay. And I have to say, it was a darn good essay. Because, like I said,
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
passionate about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So.
Okay. So Michelle, what point, Michelle, check in, and then we'll get to our topic. So Michelle, what, how were your holidays? How are things going for you?
The holidays were. They were okay. Things with my daughter, you are if you all remember, she's in 12th grade. She needs four classes to graduate. We, are pretty much just down for almost the four classes. They're going. It's going. She seems to be, I don't know, she seems to kind of have this freedom where she can tell us. Which I don't know where it's coming from, but just the freedom where she could tell us that she, kind of like she's 17, and I guess that she thinks she has freedoms with 17. So I don't know. I've just decided that I'm gonna try not to react to it. So,
Well, and it's hard because it's like, in fact, I was on the phone with a client yesterday, and we were talking about kind of this, how do you give them as much space as they want to have and keep the boundaries reasonable from your perspective, and especially if they're not in a place of negotiation. And so I'm thinking that may be the opportunity, Lachelle, here is kind of like, if she wants more freedoms, to use partnership with you as the lever. So, I'm
Okay.
happy to consider it, and here's what has to happen. We have to have explicit conversations. We have to have calm conversations. We have to be willing to engage. And my commitment to you is I will do what I can to give you more freedoms because I hear you wanting them. And I don't know how that resonates with you, but that's kind of what was coming up in this call yesterday. So just kind of food for
Okay.
thought for you.
Okay, sure.
So where do you want to take aim, Michelle?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't prepared too much today. I don't know. I guess the same thing. Just trying. I think last time I said at positive parenting. I think the same. Trying to be more positive. To
Is there a
help
particular
them.
area where you're finding it hard to be in that positivity zone, because I know you've been working on this for a while. I'm going to challenge you to narrow it a little bit.
And I don't do the homework and the work like I should. Particular area, just try not to be negative with her. I don't know. I guess maybe, yeah. I want to kind of say with her future goals, maybe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so
She's
when she says,
okay.
yeah, I know exactly, I just like totally clicked for me because it's kind of like when they put this future idea out there and then you're like, well, it'll never happen if you don't get your grades up in your senior year. That sort of, is that what you mean?
Yeah, because she said something the other day about she was going away, she was moving away. When she goes away to college this fall, and right now I just don't see how it's going to happen, but I just didn't say anything. So.
Yeah. Okay. So can I reframe that and say that you want to take aim on how to respond when she has dreams and aspirations that you really don't think are realistic?
Okay. All right.
Does that feel like right?
Yes, it does.
Great. Jennifer, where do you want to take aim?
I think just trying to get my son to want to go back to school again, where he was before break ended.
Yeah. And it's hard because he kind of got to this point where he's ready to go back, and then now he's got this, you know, rightful frustration because the situation with the school not believing that he wrote it. It's kind of like, why should I bother if nobody's going to trust me? I mean, it's
exactly
you could clearly see and acknowledge. And so I guess the one tool that kind of pops up for you more than anything else, Jennifer, is acknowledging and validating. So, yeah, you're doing a great job kind of following through and helping to solve the problem. And the parallel work, I think, check me on this, is to really spend as much time as you can letting him know how stinky you think it is, that they don't trust it, and that you're doing everything you can to kind of help make it, you know, to help him to fix it. And I think that that's the piece of it, is kind of like, you know, if he understands that part of it is his role to help fix it, then maybe you can get into problem solve mode instead of just being frustrated.
Right.
So let's go to our lesson for today, because we're talking about tone of the home. And we are on page, either of you know which page we're on, I lost it.
35,
thank you, of the workbook. And, you know, this is a great topic. We've done entire webinars on this whole thing. But what we find is that, you know, most of us kind of have some level of frustration with some aspect of how things kind of feel and look and are in the house. And the way I think about tone of the home is kind of like that moment when you open that door, you know, and it's like you're going from outside of your space to inside of your space. Or for me, because I work in my house, it's kind of the moment that one of my kids opened the door to come in. It's that how do I feel moment. And there's a really great Wheel of Life here, and we don't always kind of do the Wheels of Life, but I do want to have you guys just take a minute and look at this Wheel of Life on page 36 and identify, you know, you can do the exercise the way it is, which is, you know, the center is dissatisfied and the outside edge is satisfied. But just kind of maybe look at these and say, you know, which of these do I feel, you know, kind of thumbs up about? Which one of these do I feel like, I'm not sure? And which one of these are you like, yeah, this really needs some opportunity. This is some opportunity. So the areas that we are focused in on are noise level, which is so let's just, are you guys both on that page? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So noise level, which is could be, you know, how rambunctious it is, or there's yelling. It could be, you know, this kind of distractible noise, that sort of thing. Emotionality is like emotional intensity, whether, you know, it's kind of like how are people managing their emotions. There could be impulse control and some stuff like that around. Physicality could be roughhousing. It could be, you know, I had a client the other day whose older kid tends to beat up the younger kid, so it could be that. It could be physical touch, so it's like how much are you snuggling and cuddling and hugging and that sort of thing, but so that could be physicality. Sense of teamwork is kind of how does the family operate as a team, or not necessarily family, but the people who are in your home, right? Time spent is kind of like what are you spending your time on, how is it divided up? Visual aesthetics is kind of like how does it look? Is it cluttered? Is it, are there things that you've been kind of ignoring because you've been overwhelmed by being a parent of a complex kid? Shared responsibility is kind of how are we dividing the work up? Who's doing what? And does everybody know that they're doing it? And then spirituality is kind of that spiritual sense of connection, and how it plays into your day-to-day life. So take a minute here and just kind of look at these, and would love to hear from both of you kind of, you know, which of these, you know, you feel good about, and then which ones do you feel like are the big opportunities in your house?
Well, is the outer wheel 10 as in everything's perfect?
So it's not so much perfect, but it's more about satisfaction. So to give you an example, there's another wheel that we do that talks about intimate relationships. And I don't have an intimate relationship right now, but I am perfectly fine with that. So I would mark it like an 8 out of 10, even though it's not perfect. Does that make sense? So it's more your satisfaction level.
So 10 being perfectly satisfied.
Exactly.
Everything's great. Okay.
What's shared responsibility again?
Shared responsibility is kind of who's doing what and, you know, kind of workload. So you might be dissatisfied if you're doing everything, even when you've agreed that other people are going to help out. That, you know, somebody's doing more than their fair share or somebody's doing less than their fair share, but it's just kind of like how are you dividing up the work and being responsible for things in the house.
Okay.
This is another one. It's like I have a lot of responsibility in the house, but I'm fine with that because I'm the mom and I'm the only adult in the house. So.
Okay.
I might be satisfied with that. So just let me know when you guys are ready to kind of chat about it. I don't want to give you a minute to process here, but I want to go ahead and have the conversation.
I think I'm ready.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, cool. So, Michelle, what did you notice were the areas where you were satisfied and then areas where there's really kind of a sense of dis-ease and dissatisfaction?
I feel like I should practice this with this. It's, you know, we have other issues going on with my other daughter that has oppositional defiant disorder. So, unfortunately, that has caused friction in the house, additional friction in the house. And it doesn't help that my daughter with the ADD issues, that we have to spend a lot of time with her. So the things I think I'm satisfied with is spirituality, visual aesthetic. Those things I would say are probably closer to a 7 or 8. Working on some of the visual aesthetic with trying to purge, especially after the holiday. One thing with time spent, that's something that I've been personally trying to work on, especially that my daughter that has oppositional defiant disorder, her doctor has recommended that spending more time. And I think I'm trying to make an effort to maybe have more things. We're working on it, but to have more things like maybe even family night where we all cook dinner together and is teaching the kids how to cook. We recently did a few activities here where we went to a museum together, and we also went to a holiday show where they did step dancing together. So I think we just need to purposely add events or activities that we do together. Unfortunately, it's a little bit hard to have downtime. I have a lot of downtime with our schedule right now, so I guess with time spent, I'm about a 5.
Okay.
Some of the other ones, I think that's mainly the main ones I want to work on. I mean, that's the main one. We probably need to work on the shared responsibility. The physicality, I think, is okay. Well, sometimes.
So then bottom line for me, which ones are the ones that you see the biggest opportunity or least satisfaction? Those are kind of two different questions.
Probably the, let me see, maybe the emotionality.
Okay.
And that's because of, like I said, the tension between my daughter, both girls, and so I need to work on emotionality in the household.
Okay.
And
Jennifer,
I was already consciously working on the time spent. So.
Okay, cool. Jennifer, what about you? What do you notice in this?
Well, I think a lot of, like, the we really need work with shared responsibility and sense of teamwork, meaning, you know, not like my husband and I do everything almost. My husband definitely does a lot more than I do, but our son really doesn't take any responsibility, even though he should be. And it's just getting him to, you know, okay, you got to do your chores. And then to save, I guess, the emotionality in our house and not erupting out in total fighting, my husband just will do it instead to save all the yelling and fighting. So I'd really like to work on getting a better sense of responsibility and a better teamwork. There's only three of us in the house, three of us, and we're equaled with pets. But
right.
Of the ones that can do the work, there's three of us, so we need to split it better than it is. And we just need my son to really accept that and help with it without
well,
it
so
end
what's
up being...
So what's coming up for me, Jennifer, as you're talking about that, is like going back to that realistic expectation conversation before Christmas, right? Back in November, we were talking about shifting expectations. So when you reflect on this situation with help around the house and shared responsibility, how much of the challenge is a disconnect between what you'd like to be realistic and what is realistic for your son right now?
I think it's pretty disconnected because he seems to think he doesn't have to do anything, and although I don't know why, probably because we've done it for him before in the past.
Right.
So
well, and it's interesting because I don't think this is something that you've taken aim on before, and is that right? Or
no, not when it comes to responsibility in the house.
Because if we go back to that, you know, shifting expectation model, it's kind of like there's a process here, right? Between you do it and he does it, there's a lot of stuff in between. And so there's this process to take and say, how do we set ourselves up? If you're handing off the baton, so give me an example of something that you'd like him, one thing that you'd like him to be doing, be responsible for that right now he's not able to do that independently.
Independently or without a fight?
Either way, there's several steps here because there's the doing it without an argument and then there's doing it independently, and those are two things that tend to get, I mean, because my kids will fight me on something, but then they'll end up doing it. So they're independent and they interplay. Does that make sense?
Right. I mean, we'd like for him when dinner is over to get up and clear off the table.
And
he definitely can do that.
Okay. So that's a great example. So then that would be a really great place to take aim. And so you look at those, all the steps are, you know, there's some transition management in there. There's some holding him accountable. There's the, you know, can he do it without reminders or with reminders? There's the, what's his motivation? There's, you know, all of these different steps. And so this is a great example of someplace that you could go back to that expectation setting and say, okay, so if you were going to take aim on this, you would say, okay, so we're going to take aim on helping you to remember to clear the table after dinner and we're going to focus on that for the next couple weeks. And then you have a conversation with him. And so you set up. So what's his motivation right now to clear the table? Did I lose you? Jennifer? Jennifer. She looks like she's still there, but I don't know. She put us on mute. I don't know what happened. Jennifer? Hello? Huh. Okay, I'm going to shift, Michelle. So when you look at, so what I was reflecting on kind of what you were saying about the emotionality and the friction between your girls.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were going to take aim on that, how would you get real specific about what the challenge is?
Hello?
Oh.
Hello,
are
Jennifer?
Yeah. I just called back in because I just suddenly didn't hear anything.
Well, and it showed you still there, but all of a sudden you were just gone. It was weird.
Yeah, I'm like talking. I'm like, okay, what happened to everybody?
Nope. All right. So, sorry. So, Michelle, hold the thought. But you
okay,
know what my
sure.
question is. So you can think about my question while I wrap Jennifer up on this. So, Jennifer, where did you cut off? Did you hear anything I said?
Not much. No. So I said, you know, take aim. Okay, CJ clearing the dinner dishes. That he can do it. He's able to do it, but getting him to do it.
Right.
Without...
So my question. So the question I asked was, what is CJ's motivation to clear the table?
I don't think he has any. That's the problem.
Okay. So. How could you, pleasing mom, it sounds like is not something that is appealing, is motivating to him, right? And you said 10 minutes ago, the ADHD brain doesn't do anything that has a hard time doing anything that it's not genuinely interested in. So
right.
How do you work with him to create some motivation to clear the table?
Well, the only thing I can think of right now is, he got an Xbox, or my husband bought an Xbox for Christmas. So it would be, if you don't clear it, the next time you play the Xbox, you'll lose 10 minutes from it.
So does he respond better to character sticks?
He goes back and forth.
Okay. So generally, if carrots work, I think generally, especially if you've got a kid who's kind of fighting you on stuff, I'm going to challenge you to kind of play with the carrot side of it, because I think that a lot of times our kids, if it's kind of like, oh, why should I bother? I'm not going to, you know, it's like, I don't care if I don't get 10 minutes kind of thing, and
right.
the ODD part of it can kind of kick in there. What does he have to do right now to earn time on the Xbox?
Just make sure all of his homework is done.
So when his homework is done, he gets time on the Xbox. Is that right?
Yeah, but not every night. It just depends on, you know, the time of the night and if I'm watching the news or...
Yeah, so I mean, I would challenge you to take some homework to get really clear on some boundaries there, because that can be really helpful. So it's kind of like, if on school nights he can do this, on weekends he can do that. So you're just really clear about what is and isn't, and that can prevent some arguments because you've already documented what the rules are. So it sounds like you think that the Xbox could be a good incentive for him to clear the table.
Right.
So a couple options. One is what you just said is, you know, do you threaten to take time away from the Xbox if he doesn't clear the table? Do you make it so that Xbox is not available until the table is cleared? Or do you use Xbox as, you know, you give him bonus time on the Xbox if he clears the table every night this week?
See, and that would be hard.
Or something else.
Well, because if we say, okay, fine, if you clear the table, you can play the Xbox for 15 minutes, that 15 minutes is going to turn into an hour and then turn into a huge battle getting them off.
Well, and I think that that's the piece of it is that you want to put rewards in place that are manageable, right? And so 15 minutes of Xbox for anybody doesn't work. I can't play Xbox for 15 minutes. So that probably is not a realistic motivation. What else could you do instead of that?
Maybe play Xbox until time for bed.
Okay. So, and I guess the question
Xbox
is, does he...
for 30 minutes or... you know, play it until a set time, like 7:45.
Yeah.
And that can sometimes, depending on when we eat dinner, that can either be an hour or, you know, 20 minutes,
the thing
30
is,
minutes.
It sounds like what you're bumping up against is another challenge area, which is transition management off of the Xbox. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm curious. There's several layers. Number one is to, you know, you might take aim on transition management off the Xbox. And so how do you get him off the Xbox, you know, in a timely fashion? We figured out that it actually takes 45 minutes to get off the Xbox. That's the time delay at our house. That's what it takes him. So we've built transition time frames and things like that to accommodate for the fact that that's really from the time you say, okay, time to get off, it's going to be 45 minutes before he's actually off. But so if you're having how often are you having arguments with him about getting off?
About every two or three times he plays it. And then he's like, oh, okay, no problem. Well, I'm going to go on the computer. Or give me my tablet.
Right. So it sounds like he doesn't. It sounds like there's some unclear boundaries about rules. And so I think that that's the piece of it is that, you know, if the boundaries in the house are not clear, he's assuming that if he's not on the Xbox, it's okay to be on the video games or watching YouTube. You're saying no. And so is the rule screen time or is the rule Xbox? And you know, I've had a similar situation where even on the Xbox, it's like, well, I'm not playing a game. I'm just chatting with my friends on Xbox. I thought you meant I couldn't play a game. You know, so these are these moments where, you know, we have to get clear. So I think that the point is kind of with this, you know, we started with the tone of the home and your challenge is the arguing at the dinner table. And what it really comes down to is several things is, you know, kind of setting some clear expectations at home, creating some motivations that are motivating for him and are easily administered, and then, you know, being as clear as possible in your communication. So there's several pieces to this. Which part of it do you think is an easy first step for you, Jennifer?
I think setting clear expectations, or at least one clear expectation. You know, can it be if you clear the dish, clear the dinner dishes from the table, five out of the seven nights, then Sunday night you can play the Xbox from after dinner until bedtime. And Sundays we typically eat earlier.
Okay. So how hard is that going to be for you to monitor?
Probably not that hard because we eat dinner together every night. And then Sunday, he'll probably sometime Sunday, he'll be on the Xbox, although not for a long time. But then knowing he can go back on after dinner for a couple hours, I think might motivate him.
Okay. So then the question is, how realistic? So is your expectation that he'll do it without a reminder? And is that realistic? Or is it that he'll do it, that you'll be the trigger and say, hey, buddy, don't forget to clear the table? And, so the question is it that he does it independently? Is it that he does it without groaning? Or is it that, do you do it in layers? And what I guess I kind of have a recommendation, but what's your thought?
You probably need to do it in layers.
Mm-hmm.
We can't expect him every single night to just jump because, he sometimes eats so fast that, he's done well before his dad and I. So it might be, sit and talk with us until dinner's over. And then it's also getting my husband to, if he starts arguing about doing it, getting my husband not to just jump in and say, oh, that's okay, I'll do it for you.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like there's some conversation with your husband. There's some conversation with your son. Let me kind of put you on hold for a minute and bump over to Lachelle and see where she's at with the emotional intensity at her house, okay?
Okay.
So, Lachelle, what came up for you either listening to Jennifer or kind of just thinking about this friction?
I don't even know where to start with the emotionality. Is that what you're asking, or it?
Is that the place you want to start, or do you want to go back to the how to respond with the unrealistic expectations? I think that the question is, my question is, when you look at this tone of the home wheel, is there something mm-hmm. about this that stands out as maybe even more important to take aim on?
Yeah, it's definitely emotionality.
Okay.
And I really. I really don't know where to start. I have a 7-year-old son, and him and my younger daughter, she's 14. They bicker back and forth, and then the two girls bicker back and forth. So that's kind of suspected. Sometimes it's a little bit too much, but. I think the emotional issues a lot comes up between myself and my oldest daughter because I'm the one that's micromanaging, do the work, are you getting this done, making sure she's taking care of the business, taking care of her business, anything that's, even with senior year that you submit the payments
for.
You're checking
up on stuff, and so who's getting triggered first, you or her?
A lot of times, I don't know. I would say I'm probably getting triggered because she seems to be nonchalant. So I'm like, come on.
if she's kind of blowing it off, you're like, come on, this is your life. Why are you blowing this off? And don't you know that this is important? And yeah, it's easy to get triggered.
So that's one aspect. The other aspect is between my husband and my younger daughter, the one with the oppositional defiant disorder, and that's a whole other set of issues, but I think they're a lot alike, and neither one of them see it.
So you got you playing off your older daughter, you got your son playing off your younger daughter. I mean, what are some of the rules of thumb that you'd like to have around trigger management, around arguing and going back and forth? I mean, what would you like to have some of the guidance be?
I don't even know if I'm answering a question, but I guess I would like to see if, ideally, it would be nice if my husband and I did not get triggered by our daughters. And it's like, again, like I said, it's mostly the oldest with me and the youngest with him. And they eventually stopped or slowed down the behavior. If I don't know if that's answering the question, but that's what I would like to see. If we just didn't get triggered by what's going on, if we could.
Well, and I think that's a great first step, right? Because you know that ultimately you want them to change the behavior that's triggering you, but you know that you can't really problem solve when you're triggered, and it shuts it down probably pretty quick, because when your dad yells at you, it's like. And I don't know if that's what is that what your husband does when he gets triggered?
Yeah, and because my younger daughter will be disrespectful.
Yeah. I think that Michelle, I'm trying to remember if you were on the call where we talked about triggers or if you listened to the webinar.
I was on the call, and I don't think I followed up and did any work that I was supposed to do at this call.
I got to tell you, Michelle, about 20 minutes ago when you made some comment, I almost wanted to challenge you to take aim on how come you're not doing your homework.
Okay. Okay.
So are you willing to go there for a minute here?
Sure.
Okay. So what's going on? When you hang up the phone, you seem really excited and energized to go back and do the work. And then... something happens between then and 2 weeks later when you get back on the call. So what's going on?
I just feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's hard. There's a lot of stuff.
Working full time, the three kids. The kids are, I think I said it before, they're at three different schools. They have three, the two oldest have different issues. So we have to do tutoring and activities every week. Academic coaching for my oldest every week, doctor's appointments about every other week. And by the time I get sit down to try to do anything, I just feel like I don't want to do anything. So I do get overwhelmed. I probably need to spend less time doing other things so that I can make sure I do this.
Well, and I guess the question is it about finding something like a smaller to-do, right? So it's kind of like you could get a little bit more specific before you hang up on these calls. Or is it about finding 15 minutes later today to get really clear and say, this is what I'm doing and this is when I'm doing it? Or is it, telling your husband what you're working on so that he can help you to prioritize it? I mean, what is it that would help you to turn that intention into action?
Probably... just taking the time to do it, if that answers the question. Just taking the time, not spending time doing other things, but spending making.
Well, I don't know. So I worked with parents a lot for like six years now, and it's like if you could just do it by trying harder, you would have done it. So there's that. I'm going to call, a little bit of BS on this because there's something in there that's making it hard to prioritize this because we all do those things that pop to the top of our priority list. So what is it that makes this hard to prioritize?
Makes it hard to prioritize. I don't know.
Well, my instinct's telling me something, but I want you to think about it for a minute and see if you can figure it out.
What makes it hard to prioritize? I don't know. Maybe because it's not a deadline. Don't follow up. I don't know. I know.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Well, and the thing that was popping into my head, Michelle, and tell me this resonates, is a lot of times we want to check stuff off our list. right?
Okay.
And today I'm going to have a conversation with my daughter. Boom, I'm done. I mean, this is an ongoing thing that you really have to have time for every single day. And mm-hmm. so it makes it hard because it's like, I'm going to check all this stuff off my list, and working with my daughter on X is not a thing to check off the list. It doesn't get done that quickly. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's true.
So is it about kind of making a commitment to do something today, or, you know, do something more concrete besides kind of working on something? Or is it about something else?
I think it's more so just being, wait, say it again. What was the last question? I think it was the first answer. Just
making it more concrete, right? So it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to work on my response when she has my reaction to her unrealistic goals. So how you might make that more concrete is, the first step is raising your consciousness, right? So you might say, every day before I go to bed this week, I'm going to write down, or I'm going to reflect on all those times where I responded in a way that didn't feel like a great response. And I'm going to note that, because
okay.
that's the first step, is raising my awareness. The next step is you know, kind of knowing and more proactively managing it. And then you're getting into that trigger management cycle. But the first step is awareness. So if you were to say, okay, every day I'm going to do this to reflect on how I'm responding, that's something concrete that you could do for something you're working on over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
So what you're looking for is something concrete. So every day when my daughter comes home from school, I'm going to tell her how proud I am of her and how much I love her. Would be something concrete that you could do.
Okay.
That would be part of it. But it gives you something to focus on in a different kind of way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So and I'm going to say this to Jennifer and kind of to the recording. It's like we get into this thing where our life is so check the box every day. And with some of these other things, we're really trying to change our approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as concrete. And so the challenge is to find steps that we can take that will make it feel more like something that we can do every day, so we feel like we check it off our list.
Okay.
All right. So I want to kind of move to our wrap-up. Jennifer, is there anything that kind of came up for you as I was talking to Michelle?
I think just what you just said, you know, find steps we can take daily. Is that what you – daily, so we can check it off our list, so we can – feel like we're actually doing something.
Yeah.
Concrete and towards what we're talking about and what we're basically spending money on to do this.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, I think that's, if you're feeling like you're having a hard time moving the needle, you know, turn that, okay, I'm going to work on this. I think that's the piece of it, is kind of like knowing, what does it mean? What specifically, and I can do that with this group particularly. It's like, okay, so what specifically are you going to do? I'm going to go back and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Well, what does that mean you're going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day? You know, so kind of helping you to take it that next step.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go to, you've got your wheel, and I'm going to challenge you to kind of take that and as you look at where you're going to take aim. But so let's go back and answer the questions on page 37. So what did you pay most attention to today? And then what is your clarity? What's an aha that you had? What is a realistic action step for you to take? And how can you set yourself up for success?
Mm-hmm. I would say what I paid attention to is what you were saying about the taking steps to make something to make it concrete. A lot of times I get caught up into the doing, and not looking at the overall things that help. You know, that help overall.
Yeah.
And so I'll take away that's something that I know I need to work on is working on, you know, making steps for the bigger items that will make a, you know, that'll make a big difference down the line. It is easy to just get caught up in, I need to go do this, go do that, and not look at the bigger things matter.
And there were a couple of really specific things that we talked about that you could potentially say, here's my action item. So, for example, you're going back and listening to that trigger workshop with your husband and actually spending an hour twice this week, and I'm making this up, right, Lachelle, but this is an example of something that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go back and listen to that webinar. I'm going to do it on Thursday at noon because I've got time on my lunch hour. And I'm going to set myself up for success by telling my husband that I want him to do it too, and then we can talk on Sunday when we're going for a walk. You know, and that's just a great example of how to kind of really turn this into something more concrete for you.
Yeah, okay.
So what concrete action do you want to propose for yourself?
Yeah, concrete is, so is this still like the take a name thing?
Well, it's what's a realistic action item for you? You know, what's the action?
Yeah. Is this an action if I still need to find out how to respond to my daughter with the unrealistic, with her dreams that don't seem realistic?
Well, I guess the question is, what's the action? You're just going to wake up tomorrow and start doing it differently? Or is it to begin to notice when you are, what your triggers are? I mean, is it to do the trigger? Because there's that trigger activity, right, that we had back in whatever, in November, right? So you could make the commitment to the next time you notice that you respond negatively to go back and do that trigger exercise.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's the action, is to do the trigger exercise. And to also, I would like to work on that with my husband.
How concrete does that feel?
It feels good. And I'm going to set myself a deadline. So.
And you're going to give yourself a deadline. Great. Love that. Okay. Jennifer, what about you?
I think realistic step I need to take is sit down with my husband and say, you know, we need to do this and get his buy-in and support that he's just not going to turn around and say, oh, it's okay, CJ, I'll do it for you, that he holds him to it, and then just, you know, setting up those expectations and, you know, having him follow them.
So what do you think CJ most needs to make it easy for him to do this thing that you want him to do?
I think if he knows, if we have it in writing that, you know, he can play the Xbox this time, these times, but in order to do that, he needs to do X, Y, and Z. I think having him see it on paper versus us just telling us, oh, if you do that, you can play the Xbox. I think, or I'm hoping that that's going to, he's going to really, and it's posted, that it's going to be a visual reminder of him to, you know, just be on top of what he's supposed to do and when he's supposed to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that the other thing that's kind of coming up for me, tell me if this resonates, is kind of the how you react when it's hard. You know, so if it's like, when he's going to resist. I mean, that's his nature, and that's the pattern you guys have created. And so I'm going to challenge you to kind of come up with some other response when he resists. You know, so if your natural tendency is to say, I'm sorry, buddy, this is the rule, we're done. And he, or you give him logic, well, we agreed to this, it's on a piece of paper, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like if you know kind of how he's going to react, but you have a different way of doing it, whether it's acknowledging and validating, whether it's, you know, sorry, bud, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, but it sounds like part of what you're also going to have to do here is to do a little modification to your pattern in order to make this easier, whether it's kind of laughing and going, I know, this just totally stinks. I can't believe, you know, I know you're just, here we are again, and you're having to interrupt your watching TV to come and, you know, clear the table. It stinks. I get it.
Right.
How does that resonate for you?
Well, I think it's something, you know, we're going to have to do, you know, to have any sanity, so to speak, in the house.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. What are you going to do to set yourself up for success?
I'm going to text my husband right now to say we need to talk about this tonight after, you know, like when we're in bed, and come up with what expectations we have for CJ, you know, cleaning the dishes.
So I'm going to challenge you to just pick one and just start with cleaning out the dishes.
Okay.
Because if you get into a bunch of them, it's going to make it harder. So take aim on one, move on to the next one after you kind of got it under control. How does that sound?
Okay.
Cool. Awesome. All right, ladies. Great call today. Happy New Year. And we are on for the week after next for BFF calls. And then next week, there's a Lifeline call on Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Thanks, okay,
everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay,
bye.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.